Okay, this was a frying pan, I'm sure. Okay, we left off last week. We had just introduced the Isser of Hatmana. We had said that Hatmana was part of a whole series of different Isurim mid the Rabbanon, that although in a Torah the food is cooked already, in a Torah we don't have anything really to worry about, nevertheless, mid the Rabbanon we had a whole array of different Isurim. One was the Isser of Shehiyam, one was the Isser of Achzor, one was the Isser of Hatmana. We spent a lot of time in the past talking about Shehiyam and Achzor, and in the end, last week, we just barely introduced Hatmana. So basically, Chazal prohibited to take food and to wrap it up entirely for the purpose of keeping it warm, or perhaps for the purpose of keeping it warmer. And Chazal prohibited Hatmana under two different circumstances. There's an Isser of Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, and there's an Isser of Hatmana on Shabbos itself. On Erev Shabbos, which is a little bit more lenient, but being done not on Shabbos proper, so on Erev Shabbos, Hatmana is only asur if you do Hatmana in a way that it's moisiv hevel, that the food is getting even hotter, that would be a problem. If you're doing Hatmana on Shabbos, which is more chamers, then even if it's merely mamid hevel, it's just really keeping in its heat, that would also pose a problem. So either one of those two isurim are problematic. We said that there is a machlokes in Rishonim, why exactly, what the precise nuance of the reason why Chazal asur Hatmana is. But for our purposes, we're going to go with the Rishonim. We're saying that's basically a throwback to Shem Yichat to Begicholim. That just as Shehiyah, to some extent Achzara, or Isurim, Zerush and Yechat and Yecholim, we're afraid that a person may come to stir the coals, since Hatmana, the ways to do Hatmana, if it's not Chazal, was usually in coals. You take a piece of food, wrap it up, and you throw it into a bucket of coals or something. So it was mutba in the coals. That's always a concern. It was a red flag of Shem Yechat and Yecholim. You make up to stir the coals, which of course would be a Nisim in HaTorah of Havara. So therefore Chazal nipped the problem in the bud and said, adding in every kind of case, that's totally enclosed in something, or partially enclosed, depending on what you think Hatmana is, as we saw a little bit last week. So that's going to be a problem. So the bottom line is, with the Rabbanim, there's an Isser of Hatmana, and it's part of the general Gezeir of Shema Yichata B'Gicholim. We started at the very end of the Shiur last week to discuss some of the details as to what conditions have to be met in order for Hatmana to be problematic. So we can basically break down all the conditions of Hatmana really into two different categories. There are some conditions that address, that relate to, physically, is this called an act of Hatmana itself? What you are doing, is this really, really called surrounded? Is it really, really called enclosed? Is it really, really called encased? Does it really meet the physical conditions of Hatmana in order to be problematic? And then number two, even if that's true, then what your intent is plays a major, major role. Because, again, the whole Issa of Hatmana is the idea of keeping it warm. If, for whatever reason, I'm not really keeping it warm, even though it is staying warm, but that's not really what my goal is, that's going to also be a mitigating factor in the Hatmana. So there are really going to be two different parts of the sugya that we have to learn through today as to understand whether we have any given case being a prohibition of Hatmana. So we have to ask ourselves physically, are you doing an act that qualifies as Hatmana? And then number two, what is your intent? Is your intent derech Hatmana or not? So at the end of the shiur last week, we mentioned the Machlokes and Rishonim about whether Hatmana requires, in order for it to be also, does it have to be Hatmana of a kula or not? Does it have to be completely enclosed? Or even perhaps partial enclosing would also be a problem. So our minig is lahakel. The Rambam quotes from Rabbi Tam that we're making that Atmana has to be bekula. Atmana is just the mitzasa, just a little bit of Atmana is taking place. So the Shacharav is machlin. Where Ashkenazim generally are making on that shaila. If it's not Atmana bekula, that would be permissible. But even within that shaila of Atmana bekula, so we had a further breakdown in the poskim. What if it's Atmana beruba? What if something is mostly enclosed but part of it is exposed? Would that be called a ma'aseh of Hatmana or not? So that was the breakdown between Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman. That was the nafkamina that we entered the shiur last week. We turned to the crackpots. I don't know whether I should call them the new style, the old style, the middle style, whatever style crackpots you're talking about. We're talking about crackpot exhibit A, that you stick the pot into the device, into the appliance itself. So that raised the red flags. And there are those, even a little bit before Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman was the one who was the first in that concern. That's a chashash of Hatmana, because the pot with the shoulders inside is completely enclosed, completely surrounded by the heating mechanism, by the outer part of the crock pot. So the question is that really true? Is it totally enclosed? Not really. It's enclosed on all sides, on the bottom, but it's not enclosed on the top. So Shlomo Zalman seemed to ignore that. He assumed that was not a mitigating factor. We already saw poskim say it like that earlier. The Gemara already has such a svara that if it's Hatmana Berubo, that's a problem. And Rav Moshe was making on that. Rav Moshe said, if it's not Hatmana, literally, or just about the kulo, so that's going to be permissible. So that was one issue that was taking place in terms of Hatmana. That's, in a sense, a physical issue. Is it really, really mutma makulo, and is this considered likely to be a mutun makulo? So even though Rav Zalman was machmer in this, Rav Zalman himself is neitel lahokel in the following scenario. Wants to do something to mitigate this problem. Rav Zalman describes the way to mitigate this problem is to take some kind of a metal or a roof or something and use it to separate between the outer part and the inner part where the food is inside the children. If you take a piece of aluminum foil and you surround the entire inner pot and you have it going over the edges, so Shomazam was night al hakka. Why exactly is that mutter? So it's a little bit vague in the truth itself as to why exactly this is mutter. Shomazam throws in a few different factors as to why that piece of aluminum foil, hocus pocus, somehow solves the world's problems. So Shomazam says that first of all, it mitigates the heat a little bit. It says that if it cuts down a little bit on the heat, so that's always a good thing. Whenever you're dealing with Atmana, if you can make things cooler, that's always better for you in terms of Atmana. Then he throws in, for good luck, he says that it creates a little bit of a heker, so which is a little bit tricky. We spoke a lot about a heker in terms of the sugars of Shahi, in terms of the sugars of Akzara. In terms of the sugars of Atmana, we didn't really mention the idea of heker, something being recognizable. So Shlomo Zalman writes a combination of those factors that somehow it's minimizing the heat a little bit and it doesn't really look like derech hatmana a little bit. It was a little bit different. So he says it's nice that probably one could be making on the shaila. But he doesn't write it absolutely 100% committed. On the other hand, a little bit of pesha speshita, Shlomo Zalman was going to ask it in the first place. Before Shlomo Zalman, we weren't even sure that it was also to start with. So I don't think one has to be more machmir than Shlomo Zalman's kula. So even though we don't exactly understand the nuances of the kula, well, we're not quite sure we understand the nuances of the chumah either. So we don't have to be more machmir than Shlomo Zalman himself. So the Fidni is Daiti, those who want to rely on the Gamir and Moshe have a right to do so. Those who want to be chayshish from Shlomo Zalman, they want to be makel, they have the aluminum foil covered over the edges. So I think they have a right to do so. When we speak about Hatmana, so we mentioned that it's important to know, is this a Mice Hatmana or not? So Tosus raises the question, the fourth paragraph of the second Shabbos, about putting foods into ovens. Now forget about wrapping up foods, just stop putting foods into ovens, leaving foods in ovens from Friday afternoon should raise the question of Hatmana. We spent 3 weeks talking about whether it's an Isser Shehi or not, and basically came down to a Machlekes HaTorah, Machlekes HaRishonim. And if you do Grufa Ketuma, if you make some kind of heker or something, so it's going to basically be mutter, sometimes it raises a red flag and says, wait a second, every time you leave a pot of food inside an oven on Friday afternoon, that's what I'm out of the mana. Where's that mana? The walls of the oven. The walls of the oven are totally surrounding the food. And it's mutter makula. So even if you're in a time, that should be a problem. It's atmana makula. So Taisa says, no, that's not considered to be atmana. Atmana is only violated when the dabra matmin is sticking to the dabra mutman. It means we view the pot as the extension of the food. And now if I take, let's say, a towel, and I wrap the towel entirely around the pot, like in the days of Chazal, I would take the pot and stick it into a tub of the cholim, the coals, so that's called the hatmana. But over here, I have a pot, and then I have 3 feet away, I have a wall of an oven. That's not called hatmana. That's not a mice hatmana b'chlav. So that's a chisharam, that's a deficiency in the mice of hatmana. It's not a deficiency in your intent. My intent is very much to keep it warm. That's exactly why I left it in the oven on Friday in the first place. So clearly my kavana is to keep it as hot as possible, but since I'm not doing a physical act of atmana, that falls short as well. So again, so we have to always focus on, are we doing a physical act of atmana? And then number two, what exactly is my intent? So when we discuss issues of intent concerning atmana, so the Gemara says, Beferish, that sometimes a person can do something that is indicative of the fact that he's not really interested in being matmanid. He doesn't really want it to remain all that hot, and that's going to be okay. And that's the Gemara, also the fourth rank of Shabbos, where the Gemara discusses the possibility of transferring the food to a klisheni and then doing that one in klisheni. Let's say, for example, I cooked up a big, big pot of soup, and now I want to transport this pot of soup. We mentioned at the end of the show last week. I want to take it downstairs to the sukkah now on Friday night. Not that you look, I want to take it down on Friday night and keep it warm. Or I have this big pot of chowk, I want to walk it across the street to my neighbor for a Shabbos lunch. I don't want to walk it across the street just like that. It's going to get cold. So I start taking blankets and towels and stuff and start surrounding completely from top to bottom of the pot. So that is a big problem. Even though the towels and the blankets are not adding heat, but they're retaining heat. But the problem is I'm doing this on Shabbos. If I would do this on Friday, so that would be okay. But Friday, at the moment, is only also when it's most of heaven. But here it's being ma'amid hevel, it's retaining the heat, but I'm doing it on Shabbos, and that's a violation of Atmana. So if I would leave part of the pot exposed, depending on what you think about Rov and Kol, or Shlomo Zalman or Moshe, that would be okay. But you don't want to do that, because that's going to feed the purpose. So what can you do? So the Gemara says we can do is as follows. You can transfer the contents of that pot into a klisheni, and then you can carry the klisheni across the street, even though it's completely wrapped up. Why are you allowed to do that? Unless it's very simple, because you are clearly not so concerned about the heat. If you really, really were so concerned about the heat, then you would have kept it in the Kli Sheni. The fact that you're transferring it to a Kli Sheni, that goof is Megala that you're willing to be Mvater, a little to be Meich, a little bit on the heat. Once we can ascertain that your Kavana is to be Meich, a little bit on the heat, so then that's okay. Then we can look away and we can say that that's not considered to be a Kavana Satmana, that's not psychologically a plan of Satmana, and that would be permissible. That kula of transferring it to a Kli Sheni only makes sense when it's not a Dovra Mois of Hevel. If the Kli Sheni that you're transferring it to is Gufa Mois of Hevel, that's going to be a problem. That would be a Kli Rishon also. So that's going to be a problem. But if you're dealing with a Hatmana that's not Mois of Hevel, meaning Mamid Hevel, and you're switching it to Kli Sheni, so that's Mutar L'Techila. There is another application when a person's Kavana is lacking, and that's literally when the person's Kavana is lacking. Let's say I have something that's sitting on the blech or on the hot plate something before Shabbos, and I want to wrap it up while it's on the hot plate. I want to do all the wrapping up from before Shabbos. So that sounds like a potential red flag because it's the Dover Ha Mosif Hevel. The Tosafot points out that Mosif Hevel doesn't only mean the item itself that's doing that Hatmana is Mosif Hevel. So in the days of Chazal, so I would stick my pot into the coals, and the coals itself was a Dover Mosif Hevel. What if I take a pot and I wrap it up in a blanket? The blanket itself is not Mosif Hevel, but then I stick it on the fire, I stick it on the blech, stick it on the hot plate, so that even though the Dabra Matman itself is not a Mosif Hevel, but it's in a place where it's Nisosif Hevel. So that's also called at the bottom of Dabra Mosif Hevel. So if I take a pot and I wrap it up in a blanket and leave it on a blech from before Shabbos, that's a big problem. Again, unless it's not Bakula, Rubo, Kumiksas, whatever you think the definition of that is. So that would raise a problem. What if I leave food on the fire from before Shabbos, on the hot plate, or black, whatever the case may be, I get around my Shahir problems, and I wrap it up, but the reason why I'm wrapping it up is not to keep it warm. I'm keeping it up because I don't want it to get dirty. I don't want bugs to fly into the food. I don't want it to dry up. I have a half a dozen other agendas as to why I'm wrapping up the food. So then the din is that that's mutter, because that's not called kavanas hatmanas. Even though technically I'm doing a maisa hatmana, but I'm not doing with kavanas hatmana, so that would be permissible. So a lot of people do that. A lot of people put aluminum foil and things on the fire on Friday afternoon. So you have to ask them, why are they doing that for? So if they're doing it to keep the food warmer, that could be a problem. If they're doing it, they don't want the food to dry out, they don't want the food to get dirty, or bugs, whatever it is, so then that would be okay. So remember, one of the very, very first Shavuos, right after we got married, so I noticed that my wife had put stuff on the fire on Friday afternoon, on the blech, whatever it was at the time, and I noticed that she was starting to cover a lot of things with aluminum foil. So I posed this very very critical question to her. So I asked her, why are you covering the food with aluminum foil right now? So she already knew me well enough to know the following response. So she was fine. I remember she looked at me straight in the face, just me. What do you want me to answer? So that's not fair. But Baruch Hashem, she didn't give the right answer. She said that she's doing it because she doesn't want it to get dirty. We lived in the Heights. So the good reasons why many things you want to keep safe in the Heights. So that's what it is. As long as your kavanah is for other kinds of agendas, then it's going to be permissible. There are some issues. Someone just asked me about this yesterday. There's the common question about those like, I don't know, they go to black covers, urn covers, I don't know, different kinds of covers that go over certain foods when they're sitting over the blech. They're made in Eretz Yisrael, they have a beautiful sign on them that says the Chavit Shabbos Kodesh. So I remember Rabbi Willig once commented that he thought some of them should just cross out the word Chavit and just put in the word Lechilul Shabbos Kodesh, because he thought that there were problems of Admana. But the evidence is that very often they're not problems of Admana for one of the reasons that we mentioned before, that sometimes the way they're made, they don't literally touch on the sides of the pot, they go extend a little bit over the edges of the pot. Somebody yesterday in shul was trying to describe one of them to me, so I told him they have to come back to the shiur today. They didn't come back. Okay. Maybe there's a reason they didn't want to come back. So the bottom line is, if these covers are grabbing or hugging onto the side of the pots, since it's a problem, even though the covers themselves are not mostly available, but you're leaving it over a pot, over an urn, something that itself is mostly available, that's a problem. But usually they're not hugging exactly. There's a little bit of room that's hanging over. So then that's like toast, the equivalent of toast's case. When you put food into the oven, that's not considered to be a problem of atman. So I think we could kind of make a siyum on the shahiyas, abzaras, and atmanas, which I guess by extension is a siyum on the sugyas of bishul, which we started, I think, before the summer, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been a long... It would have been nice to end, like, you know, right in time for winter break. But we still got 20 minutes left this year. So we got to start the next malach and put it on hold for...
I got September 1st.
September 1st we started.
Bishul number one, that's what I got.
Bishul number one. No, I'll tell you, you're right. We really started, we started it right before the summer, and then we started over again, because I think like we felt it was like a 3-month break. So you're right, so September 1st may still be officially on the archives, maybe Bishul number one. Okay.
I think it was like
last
school, we had 20 minutes left in the year before.
Yeah, but I think that tends to be our minute, that we always taught these properly in this year. Okay.
You mentioned previously that you didn't think that the top covers were hakmana, but you think the tin foil on top of the tin would be hakmana.
Well, it depends what you're doing it for. So if you just put a tin foil on top of the tin, that would be good. A lot of people wrap it, they wrap everything around. Sometimes they leave, like, let's say, a piece of cocoa or something on the fire, and they put the whole thing in a piece of aluminum foil.
In Israel, they made these boxes over the door where you can put the cholent and the hot water, and then in Shabbat they open it.
Right, so that wouldn't be hatmana. There may be other issues as well. It's not hatmana because it's the same as the oven, that it doesn't touch the sides of the pot, so that would be okay. That's the Tosfos model. Okay, so the Jews were really not only making a siyum on hatmana and our bishul, we're making a siyum to do the pas. This has been going on for how long? Check the archives. It's been going on since we started the shiurim, like 2.5 years, whatever it is. It was a long, long time. So we'll start the next malach, at least get us to think about the next malach in the next couple of weeks. So the next series of malachas deals with garments. Deals with first dealing with threads, getting the threads ready for the garments, and we open up with the first malacha of gozes. So the malacha of gozes is to get before you can make a garment, you gotta get wool. Before you get wool, you gotta get it off the sheep. So gozes is the first of the series of malachas that we're gonna begin to discuss. So unless the person thinks, okay, this is not gonna take that long, gozes, you're right, it's not gonna take as long as bishul, that is true. But don't think that we're gonna just ignore gozes right away and say, well, we don't have sheep, we're not shearing sheep, so we have nothing to talk about. The Gemara has a whole series of different potential applications of gozes, which although don't involve sheep and don't involve the act of shearing itself, but are considered to be potential toldos of gozes, which are derivatives, secondary categories of gozes itself. Just some to drop a few coming attractions, issues of taking haircuts, issues of cutting nails, those are all potentially surim, with the most rishon of gozes. But before we can discuss the intricacies of gozes, we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, and it's something that we have talked about a little bit in the past, and that is the question is, well, wait a second, why are we even talking about subcategories in the first place? Why are we even talking about toldos? If there were lamates malachas, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the list of 30 malachas, it comes down from Shemayim with Baruch Chaitz, the book, with every picture of every one of the lamates malachas, so I tell the way I said, so like Mechat Eisei, that there are subcategories and subcategories. Everybody realizes that cutting your nails is not exactly gozes. Everyone realizes that getting a haircut is not exactly gozes. So if we're going to be machayev you for these kinds of activities, possibly, then we are introducing the principle of toldos. So the truth is that we already talked about toldos way, way back in Chorish and Zoreya, back already over a year and a half ago. We first started Hilchos Shabbos, and we introduced the concept of toldos. So let's just backtrack for a minute, because there's an important yesod of toldos that actually appears in the Malach of Gozes. It's actually one of the fundamental yesodos of toldos, office of toldos, appears within one of the details of the sugyas of Gozes. It's actually a sugya that does not even appear in Masechet Shabbos. It's a sugya that appears in Masechet Bechoros. Rabbi Schacht is very fond of saying many times that you could learn all of Masechet Shabbos and you can miss the boat. You miss the one major point of that particular malacha. So it's a classic example. Probably the most important yisod of Gozes appears in the sugya Masechet Bechoros. Like that we'll talk about a little later on, we talk about laundry, about washing. You can learn all Masechet Shabbos and also miss the boat. The most important part of Malacha, of Kibbutz, the Malabin, appears in Masechet Zvachim. So you gotta good plug for Daf Yomi. You gotta learn Kol Torah Kula in order to be able to put together the pieces to realize you can't just say you learn Masechet Shabbos and call it a day. So Halavai, we should learn Masechet Shabbos, which is not so bad also. So within Masechet Bechoros, also the third pech of Masechet Bechoros, the Gemara gives us the Yesodos that relates to Gozes, but then relates to the whole relationship of Avos and Toldos as well. The Gemara there is not even discussing, at least starting, not even discussing Lecha Shabbos at all. It's talking about the prohibition of the Torah of those Sogos Bechorts Anecha. If you happen to have a firstborn sheep that has a Kedushas Bechor to it, we spoke about this many times, but that's not supposed to happen today. You're supposed to have sold the mother, part of the mother, to the guy before the baby was born, but for whatever reason you didn't get around to doing that, or in the old days you're not supposed to do that. So now you have this firstborn sheep in front of you, it has Kedushas Bechor to it. So the Torah says, Lo Sagos Bechor Tzonecha. It's a Nisa Deraisa. Now let it cut off its wool. Now let it shear the wool of the firstborn sheep. So the Mishnah says that sometimes you can have a situation where I want to shech this sheep. Why do I want to shech? You're not supposed to be shech the sheep. You're supposed to bring it as a carbon, shech in the base of Mikdash. But every once in a while, the sheep may get a mum. And if it gets, you're not allowed to make it get a mum, but if it gets a mum, then it becomes psula mikdashin. And then you're allowed to shech it chutz la mikdash. The only thing is, you're still not allowed to shear it at all. Lo sabes b'chutz anecha. The Gemara learns that from psukim, that issur applies even after it gets a mum. Just because an animal gets a mum, and even though you brought it to the Rav who has smicha and yata b'chayrus, and you've had kapaskin that the mum is a good mum, so it's not a freebie, then you're allowed to shech the chutz la mikdash, but there are still some halachas of kedusha that apply. It's called psula mikdashin. So here you have the sheep, and you want to shech the sheep, and now you have a problem. So we're going to have to reference your expertise right now. I think the only one here who could help us with this next thing. When you shech the sheep, and there's a wool in the area around the neck, so that's a little bit technical problem. That's going to...
There's a number of problems. You can
Sure.
With a knife, you can end up with a problem of...
Chavada, possibly?
Correct. And just practice.
Technically, it's hard to do.
Good.
Okay.
The knife also.
So the bottom line is the Mishnah described, you got to get rid of some of that wool. Bottom line is you got to get rid of some of the wool. But now we have a problem. Because on the one hand, Shechita is dictating to us that we got to get rid of some of the wool. On the other hand, Lo Sabbath B'chor Tonechi, not allowed to just cut off the wool. So the Mishnah talks about the possibility of not literally shearing the sheep, but just taking, almost like plucking it out, like grabbing out some of the wool with your hands or whatever, or yanking out some of the wool, doing derech tolesh rather than doing it derech gozes. So the Mishnah talks about that as being a possibility. So then the Gemara goes on and says that you can run into the same problem if you want to shech the sheep on Yom Tov. Now, Shabbos, obviously, you're not shechting any sheep. But if you want to shech the, let's say, Mikdash, shech the Kavit Havar or the Musaf, if you're shechting a sheep on Yom Tov, so Yom Tov, shechita is one of the malachas, that's mutter. Practically speaking, for a variety of reasons, we don't do shechitas anymore on Yom Tov. But me'ik, mikudin, you're allowed to shech on Yom Tov. So now here I want to shech the sheep on Yom Tov, but I have a problem because I'm going to run into some of the same technical problems and the shechita problems if I don't pull out the wool. On the other hand, to yank out the wool on Yom Tov, that's a problem. That's a potential malacha of gozes. So those are the two problems that the Gemara raises. It was a whole sugya, daf long, and the third parak of Bechoros, how to overcome these two problems. So in the middle of that sugya, mamish tucked away in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara has the possibility that maybe there's a difference between the two. Maybe the rules that govern gozes for those sabbas b'chor tzonecha are not identical to the rules that govern gozes for Melechah Shabbos and Melechah Yom Tov by extension. What's the difference? Here it says gozes, and here, what is the Lama test Melechah, the Nimtzer Mesina, the Melechah Mishkan is gozes. So why should there be any differences? So in the middle of that Shach Matai, tucked away, there's a Taisus in the third Pekka Mecheres that has the following insights. A very small, about 10-line Taisus, but it gives you the fundamental insight. Taisus says that when you're dealing with Kola Terakula, the definitions of Maisim are different than the definitions of Melechah Shabbos in the following sense. When it comes to Kola Terakula, for example, L'Sabbos B'chor Tzonecha, so the Torah says, don't do an act of gozes. So how do I know whether the act that I'm doing is called gozes or not? I look it up in the dictionary, look it up in Halachapedia, and I say, what does gozes mean? So they'll define to you, this is gozes. You take shearing scissors and you lay down the sheep. You can tell me times I've sheared sheep. So you do gozes. Those who are interested in Gidim Chodesh Nisan, so they have the rashis, I guess. The same guys who brought you the Peret and Ovelus that they do at the beginning of Chodesh Nisan. When I was there last time, so I asked him, can't we do the shearing of the sheep now? So the guy looked at me, I was out of my mind. He said, there's no wool in the sheep. You gotta wait till the wool grows. You see how much I knew about shearing the sheep. You have to come back to me sometime, they're willing to do a rashis, I guess, for you. But, So when it comes to the Isra of Osavet B'chot Tzonecha, you have to look up an encyclopedia, look up the dictionary and see what is called gozes. So this is called an act of gozes. Is plucking wool out of an animal called an act of gozes? No, that's not called gozes. It's a different act. It's called removing wool from an animal's neck. That's not called gozes. So when the Torah says, Osavet B'chot Tzonecha, that's all it meant. It meant exactly what it said. An act of gozes, no more, no less. When it comes to Chashavas, you can't ask that question, Sistosis. When it comes to Chashavas, you have to first identify what the malacha is. Gozes is talk about the Lamates malachas. But then you got to ask yourself a second question. Namely, even though the action in question is not the act of Gozes, and that's not on the official list of Lamates malachas, is it a tolda of Gozes or not? Is it a subcategory? Is it similar enough to Gozes? It's not Gozes itself, but is it similar enough to Gozes to be problematic? How do you know you ask that question? And how come you don't ask that question in other areas of halacha? So those that shows you Gemara that they claim says, Gemara tucked away in Krisus, that they claim says that it's a gzeres hakosav. By Shabbos, there's a special gzeres hakosav that told us a ka'avis. Kolatarakula told us in Aka Avos. Kolatarakula, you just identify the phrase, the word in the Chumash itself. That's all there is right no more. The Chashavas, you identify the word, the phrase, the name of the Malacha, and then you extrapolate the Toldos as well. Now, what criteria do you use to extrapolate the Toldos? How do you know whether something is similar to the Avanah? So that we spoke way, way, way back in the Chayyur Zareya days. So that was a big question. Show them, later Poskim, what Nekudas do you use to extrapolate? Are they similar in Pe'ula, similar in Machshava, similar in both, similar in Nida? Those are details. We got an archive way, way back for this one. But this is those who are interested, take a look at the Tiferes Yisrael's Hakadoma to Mishnayos Maseches Shabbos. So it tries to show you what the criteria are, of course, from the Rambam and the other Mishnayos, how exactly you define what is and what's not a Toldos. But when all the dust settles, the notion of Toldos doesn't exist outside of Shabbos, and therefore we find certain discrepancies, therefore we find certain distinctions why certain things are usher on Shabbos and Yontif, and maybe mutter in Kol Tarakula. So plucking the wool may be mutter for the Bechor, and may still be usher on Shabbos and Yontif, because it may not be Goyzis, but it may still qualify as they told of Goyzis. That's a very, very important Yisod. That Yisod of Tosfos, the Toldos don't really apply outside of Masechet Shabbos. There's a cost in Shabbos, and don't extrapolate to other areas of Halacha. Not everybody agrees to that. There is a Shidduch Kubetzes in the beginning of the second Bava Kama that says that that's not true. The Toldos apply in Kol Tarkul also. So the Shidduch Kubetzes would have to explain a different shot in that Gemara Masechet Bechoros. But the Shidduch Kubetzes quotes from one of the Rishonim from the Bari Katz. I don't know anything about it except he was a Kohen. But the Bari Katz says that Toldos apply equally to Shabbos and to other areas of Halacha. Either as a Pasuk, the Gemara quotes Benoni Mil, the Gemara quotes a Gzeres HaKosov, that there are Toldos in Shabbos. So the Bari Katz explains, the only reason why the Gemara needed Xeris HaKosov in Shabbos is because I would have thought that Mishkan would have dictated that there are no Toldos in Shabbos. The starting point, says the Marikat, of course there are Toldos. Whenever the Torah says something, don't be so rigid, don't be so limited and think it only applies to this action itself. Whatever is similar enough, the Pe'ula B'Machshava, whatever you think the definition of similarity is, of course Toldos applies to Kol Tarkula. The only reason why the Gemara needs a Chiddush that it even applies in Shabbos is because one would have been so focused on Mishkan. Mishkan teaches me maybe there are no Toldos in Shabbos. Kamash Mon there are. So you have a Machlokes min HaKotze LaKotze. Machlokes, and we showed him a major fundamental Lomdashim Machlokes, potentially serious Nafkamin's Ladina, as to what our take on Toldos is outside of the realm of Shabbos. Everyone agrees at the end of the day there are Toldos in Shabbos and Yontif. Are the Toldos in other areas of Allah according to Toldos? Absolutely not. And there may be certain things that are permissible based on that. And according to Marikat and the Shin Gubet says, the answer is absolutely yes. What in the world is this Marikat doing in the beginning of Bava Kama? The Gemara's talking about Obsin Toldos. So Marikat says, I'll bring you a Raya Brura. She'ain't a let Shuva. Of course there are Toldos in Kol Tarkula. Anyone learned the first mission of Bava Kama? Arba Ovas Bezikin, Bechaldika Toldos. The first Sugi of Bava Kama speaks about the Ovas Bezikin and Toldos Bezikin. Let's say, Av HaMazik of Eish. So the Torah describes lighting a fire. That's the case of Bashem Mishpatim. And the Gemara's a whole story. A guy leaves a suitcase on top of a roof, and the wind comes and blows the suitcase over damages. That's Eish. Doesn't say that in the Chumash. Nope, that's a told of Eish. Well, let's say the Moshe the Torah says, if you dig a hole in the ground, an animal falls and breaks a leg, that's Bor. Comes the Gemara and says, and what if you left a banana peel on the floor and somebody slipped and got hurt? That's a told of Bor. That's not a Bor. That's not what the Torah says, Kicher. That's not Kicher. Kivtach Kicher is Bor. That's a told of Bor. And there are told us in Mezikin as well. So says the Shibbuk Metz, you see from here, of course they're told us to call it Tarkula, not just by Shabbos. So when you learn Bava Kama, you have to figure out what would Totsus respond to that. Why is the Zikin somehow different? So that's already out of the realm of our discussion. But in terms of our discussion, in terms of Shabbos, everybody agrees that L'maisa, there are told us in Shabbos and Yom. Whether that means they're told us in other areas of Halacha, or it's exactly because of limited to Shabbos, that's the Chagas of Yishonim. But for sure there are told us in Shabbos and Yadav, and the original statement of that Tosfos was vis-a-vis the Malach of Gozes. So it's actually within Gozes that we find some very real life Toldos. The original Malach of Gozes almost doesn't speak to us. When was the last time we sheared sheep? No, we're not going to discuss Gozes proper. But the Toldos of Gozes is very real for us, and that's the sugyas that appear later on in Masechet Shabbos. The Mishnayos, the Gemara is talking about a person cutting their hair, a person shaving, a person cutting their nails. All of these actions are potential Toldos of Gozes. They're not Gozes proper. I'm not a sheep and this is not wool. On the other hand, it's almost the exact same thing. I'm taking something which is growing on the sheep and removing it. I'm taking the nail that's growing on me, I'm cutting my hair, cutting my, shaving my beard. I'm doing those kinds of actions that are very, very similar to Gozes. It's not Gozes proper, but told us of Gozes. So we have to figure out, are those blochas derais or not? So hopefully, we'll have the next year, we'll kind of discuss a little bit about how this plays out in the mice in terms of getting haircuts on Shabbos, cutting nails on Shabbos, and very, very real potential Shabbos that come up, which are all potential sugars of told us of Gozes. Okay, so next week there won't be a shiur, and then the following Sunday will to be determined.
Okay.